You're listening to Broad Minded on Take 5, XM 155.
Welcome back to Broad Minded on Take 5, XM 155. We're the Broads, Christine and Molly, and coming up later, we're talking about Lost. I'm even angrier than I was last week about this week's show. But right now on Take 5 XM 155, we are joined by Dr. Pryor and Candace Newton. They're a couple of broads and they're here to talk with us about healthcare issues for women. So thank you so much for being on the show. How are you guys?
Fine.
Great.
Well, I just want to start off with something that I heard on the news yesterday. And this is Christine, and I have premature ovarian failure. And I was diagnosed in my 20s. And so I was on
estrogen.
Hormone replacement therapy before 2002. And then I heard that these new studies came out.
Oh, Dr. Pryor.
Yes. Okay.
Help me out, doctor.
All right. I like to call what you're talking about early menopause rather than ovarian failure.
Thank you. POF is what they call it, premature ovarian failure.
It's such a negative term. And basically, usually the reason for it is mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, and in only this situation, balanced natural levels of estrogen and progesterone as therapy are important.
Go ahead.
Only time we should use that term replacement. The rest of the time, we shouldn't use it because it's not true.
But these are things that I should be taking, despite
yes.
what you're hearing in the news and the increase in breast cancer and other things.
Yes.
My body needs these.
That's right.
Okay.
Because you would normally be making those, the estrogen and the progesterone, until you get to be about 51.
Mm-hmm.
And so you should, I don't know how old you are, but you should take them until you get to
Well, now I'm 38.
Okay, then until 51, and there won't be an increased risk for breast cancer or all of the negative, the strokes and the heart attacks and all of that stuff, because it's totally different than the situation where a woman has had her normal complement of 30, mm-hmm. 40 years of ovarian hormones, and then we give her some extra.
Oh, I see. Okay. So then what happens at 51?
At 51, you would gradually discontinue. First of all, you get a bone density
mm-hmm.
because we need to know where you're at that point because it affects how you'll be treated now on. So if your bone density is quite high, then you can just gradually stop the estrogen. I would carry on with the progesterone for several more years until you're free of any hot flushes.
Now, why don't you have to continue with the estrogen? I'm sorry.
The estrogen's the dangerous one. The estrogen's the one that causes blood clots. It's the one that causes breast cancer. It's the one that increases the risk for stroke. And so we want to stop that when you've had your complement of years of these hormone therapies.
So at 51, your body doesn't need estrogen any longer?
No. In fact, I think of menopause as a blessed relief from having to deal with high estrogen.
I'm estrogen dominant, so
yes.
I've been known to threaten a few people lately, so I'm with you.
Uh-huh.
Get rid of the estrogen now.
Yeah.
We're talking with Dr. Pryor and Candace Newton, and they're here to talk about healthcare issues with women. Dr. Pryor wrote a novel called Estrogen Storm Season, and Candace, you wrote, you're the creator of Unlocking Secrets for Women, an organization dedicated to being a reliable source of information for women and their families about all the different platforms with women issues. So why did you write a book in novel form about perimenopause? And let's go back. And what is perimenopause?
Okay, good. Well, first of all, I personally had an extremely rough time starting in my mid-40s with sore breasts all the time, gaining weight, hungry, perpetually hungry. I couldn't exercise those symptoms away like I had been able to previously. And I began to say, and I started having night sweats. And I said to myself, wait a minute, if this is the process of becoming menopausal, this sure doesn't feel like low estrogen to me. It feels like my estrogen's really high. And yet I couldn't find anywhere in the medical literature, any of the reviews, all the things I'd been taught said, perimenopause or the transition into menopause is about dropping estrogen.
So, menopause is either, what is menopause then?
Okay, menopause officially starts when you've been a year without a period.
Right, but where's your estrogen level, high or low?
It's normal and it's low.
And then in perimenopause, you were saying this
it's
certainly
high.
Doesn't feel like...
low estrogen or dropping estrogen. In fact, what I felt was that my estrogen was through the roof, and that was in fact true. And so I said, wait a minute, am I the only one in the whole world who's having high estrogen? And I started looking into it and did a very scientific study of all the world's literature and found, sure enough, there's high estrogen, about 30% on average, higher than normal, sexy 20-year-olds during this transition. And that's paradoxical because we think of, and it's true, the ovary's running out of eggs. We think of it as winding down, but instead it goes through a grand finale of higher.
So let me ask you, does this mean you could get pregnant?
Well, you're less likely to get pregnant, but you still could.
Okay, go ahead.
Ovulation usually happens, in this perimenopausal time, but there's less progesterone made instead of enough to match the high estrogen. So again, we have the situation where estrogen's too high and progesterone's too low.
So Dr. Pryor, you're in the 30% that had the high estrogen during the perimenopause. What does that mean? Does that mean you're in trouble? Is it healthy? Is it negative? Do you need to level it out?
Okay. It's generally, my guess is that, well, first of all, I think everybody's estrogen levels go high. This is the average 30% higher. Mine were just 200% higher. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And about 20%, as near as I can figure, of women will have that 20% higher business. And we're the ones that get the heavy bleeding, the weight gain, the new migraine headaches, the new high blood pressure, the new insulin resistance and waist ballooning and diabetes starting and all that stuff.
I also have my question with when you have this like finale that you said, I have a couple of friends that in their late 30s, early 40s were told by their doctors that your ovaries kind of kick it up a notch and they both had twins and that was the reason why.
Okay. Yes, that happens.
Does that happen? Okay.
Because the what happens is there's normally a feedback that suppresses the pituitary in the brain. And so the ovary can override the pituitary in the brain. But that feedback loop then becomes faulty in perimenopause. So instead of just one follicle getting stimulated and making estrogen and making progesterone, there may be several. And so a woman who gets pregnant in her early perimenopause will be more likely to have non-identical twins.
Very, very interesting. Now, by the way, we're talking to Dr. Pryor and Candace Newton, and they're here talking about women's health issues. And also, Dr. Pryor wrote a book called Estrogen Storm Season, but it's in a novel form.
So and, you asked me why I did it.
Yes.
Well, I did this major review. It was published in 1998 in Endocrine Reviews, which is a very prestigious journal. And it clearly laid out these things in perimenopause. High estrogen, higher estrogen associated with symptoms, that it's not about dropping estrogen and on and on. And nothing changed. Women were still getting told, oh, your estrogen's dropping, you need the birth control pill. Women were still being told, you've got night sweat, you've got heavy flow, oh, we'll try the pill. And that's exactly the wrong therapy. And so finally I said, wait a minute, I have to bypass doctors who simply don't believe this new information and get the message directly to women. And it seemed right to get it to women in women's
mm-hmm. Now, Candace, you are the creator of an organization called Unlocking Secrets for Women. Tell us about that.
Well, Unlocking Secrets for Women is determined to compile together the best of the best experts for the benefit of women and their families, everything from health right through to all kinds of resources on education, good grief, even to, good quality resources on renovations for your house. And we are really, really picky. We only pick the cream of the crop.
Like
and,
Dr. Pryor.
Oh, absolutely. It's an absolute honor. Dr. Pryor is a gift to North America and actually to the world. She's a true gift because she's one of those doctors who actually listens to women. She doesn't poo-poo their symptoms. She listens. She sympathizes. She allows her own body experience to be part of her reality, meaning you can go in there and say, she'll say, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And she's an absolute gift. So I feel just absolutely honored to have her work with me. But I want to
come on. I'm blushing.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And that's why we wore our makeup today, so that when we blush, no one could see it. So, but I want to tell you that from a non-scientific point of view, I can totally back up what Dr. Pryor is saying about women and higher estrogens. You know, Dr. Pryor said it's even sexier, you know, than when you're in your 20s. Oh, I totally agree, because when I hit 40, I wanted so many younger men, it wasn't funny.
Oh, and
And I knew I was exploding with estrogen. And I mean, I didn't even have to go to a doctor. I just, like, knew. And, yeah. So, yeah, anyway.
I think we found what's wrong with us, Molly, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we're I'm lusting after people on TV on Lost, and I don't know if it's my estrogen.
You might want to consider being very careful and not getting, like, hit with stalking laws or something if it's people on TV. but girls, listen, I have to tell you this. Listen to me. I also have discovered a couple of things during the menopausal, I call it, because it's menopausal.
Yes.
But for me, you know when you look in the side mirror, now maybe you girls don't have this, but when I look in the side mirror, I notice that I have these little jowls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to get those taken off, but don't do it. I've discovered what they're for. They are actually storage places for chocolate so that you can get an instant, immediate antioxidant supply to the brain. And instant. And on top of that, don't get LASIK eye surgery. There is a reason why your eyes are blurry. Have you ever had a picture taken with that nice sort of vignetting over that, so they put Vaseline over the lens so your skin looks perfect?
Uh-huh.
That's what happens to your eyes.
I saw your YouTube.
Yeah. Okay. So you saw it.
I love it. I love it. You know, but the reality is, okay, doctors are telling women, okay, we'll put you on the pill. And Dr. Pryor, you're saying, no. This is, what is the other therapy? What's the alternative? What do women do?
Chocolate.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Well, first of all,
besides chocolate,
it's a real revelation, and it's an empowering thing to know what's going on for yourself. It's so annoying to be told you're full of it. You know, perimenopause is about dropping estrogen, and that's basically what women have been told. So, first of all, understanding what's going on is really important. We don't need to be angry at the doctor as well as confused and stuff ourselves. But really, more than that, is if estrogen's too high and the normal counterbalancing hormone for estrogen, which is progesterone, is too low, then it makes just simple sense to use progesterone as a therapy.
Yeah, it does.
Is that what you did, Dr. Pryor?
Absolutely. I got to a point where I just couldn't manage to function because I was waking every night with sweats. And I just was losing too much sleep and losing energy and losing my sense of humor and et cetera. And so I asked my doctor for progesterone therapy. I took the natural progesterone, which is a formulary medicine called Prometrium, at bedtime, 300 milligrams every night. And once a year, I would stop it to see whether or not my hot flushes, night sweats had gone away. And I kept going back on it until the seventh year, then I finally could come off.
Okay, now, what about breast cancer? Is there any link between breast cancer and these estrogen surges, these hormonal surges, whether it's perimenopause, menopause, or after the fact?
Okay, the answer is yes. We know that estrogen increases the risk for breast cancer. I mean, just look at the breast cancer in men versus in women. It's not a man's disease.
Right.
Okay? And,
good point.
And the tamoxifen and raloxifen that decrease breast cancer are anti-estrogens, right?
So they are.
No question that estrogen increases the risk of breast cancer. One of the reasons that the Women's Health Initiative estrogen-only trial didn't show a significant increased risk for breast cancer is that the women who got that who were in that trial all had their uterus removed. And that surgery itself decreases the risk for breast cancer.
Okay, so put this in layman terms.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me explain. Estrogen increases the risk for breast cancer. Progesterone decreases the risk for breast cancer. Now, I'm making a particular point here that I'm saying progesterone, not medroxyprogestin or any other progestin, because progesterone is different in breast cancer. And we just learned that from a big, huge study that was done in France. It studied about 100,000 menopausal women from 1990 until recently and looked at what hormonal therapies they were taking after menopause and their incidence of breast cancer compared with women who weren't on any hormones. So estrogen increased the risk about 25%. And
wow.
most of the women in France were getting transdermal estrogen, the bioidentical, you know, a patch or a gel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There was a 25% increase, which is small, but is real, okay? The women who were on estrogen with Prometrium or the natural progesterone had no increased risk of breast cancer.
So wow. Knowing what you know, Dr. Pryor, and the studies that you've done, could you get creative and think of something? What do you think would help decrease the risk of breast cancer, knowing what you know about hormones?
Okay. Well, I think ovulating normally and consistently from the maybe a year or two after our first period on would decrease the risk of breast cancer. I think maintaining a normal and not a high weight would decrease the risk. I think avoiding regular alcohol consumption would probably decrease the risk. You see, there's mm-hmm. a mixture of things we can do. But you're quite right that there is an increase in breast cancer risk that's not talked about very much, in the mid-40s to mid-50s. There's a blip there.
Yeah.
Probably related to this high estrogen and not enough progesterone.
And so you just wonder, who's pioneering these studies where we could really have a breakthrough in, let's say, the next 20 years? Because, you know, I have two friends that are suffering with it right now. And one of them, it's come back as inflammatory breast cancer, and it's a tough one to beat.
Oh, it's horrible.
And she's going through hell, and I'm confident that she's going to be fine. I really am. But it's tough, and I'm thinking, my God, when are we going to have a change in this?
You know what drives me nuts?
What?
Is the sort of thought process is, have a mammogram and prevent breast cancer.
That's not it.
That's nonsense. That's a detection tool. It's not a prevention tool. We need to start further.
You're right.
And so what I've been working on, and actually I founded the Center for Menstrual Cycle and Ovulation Research, which is the shorthand is CEMCOR, CEMCOR, in order to study this hidden ovulation in women's health. And if you look on the CEMCOR website, which is www.cemcor.ubc, which is where I work, .ca, you will see lots of information about ovulation, about perimenopause, some tools you can use to track your own experiences. If you take that diary form to your doctor, then the doctor somehow pays a better attention when they can see how heavy your flow really is, or when they can see how many days of the month your breasts are miserable and stuff. So I'm working to develop ways to figure out about ovulation so we can start tracking populations of women and prove this lack of progesterone breast cancer risk.
I also think that what some people need to do, and I didn't do this right away, but when I started taking the estrogen and the progesterone, I did, and they said come back 6 months and then come back a year and then come back every year. Well, my body was changing so much that sometimes I needed more and sometimes I needed less. And one time I went in there and my estrogen levels were off the Richter. And that's terrible because I wasn't keeping up with it myself. I wasn't getting checked as often as I should have been to keep it regulated, and that cannot be healthy either.
You know, the early menopause therapy, I wrote an article that's on the CEMCOR website called Natural Hormone Therapy for Early Menopause, I think is the title of it.
Uh-huh.
You'll find it easily if you go there. But what I recommend is that you, any woman who's got early menopause, start keeping track of how she is using the diary form. And then as she starts medicines, keep track of how she responds. Because your body will tell you if you're getting too much estrogen.
Yeah.
And your body will tell you if you're not getting enough progesterone, if you learn the clues.
You know, this, I feel like what we're talking about right now is so important. It's this, and I think what really stood out today, Dr. Pryor and Candace, is the fact that you said that get your mammogram and everything's going to be okay. You're right. That is not preventative.
No.
And the studies that you're doing, I think, are so important. I think everybody should go to the website. It's semcor.ubc.ca. We're going to have all this information on broadmindedonline.com. I want you to come back and talk more about this. I just started writing down in my little journal, Christine's looking at it right now, when I get my periods. Because I have to tell you, this is Molly. A week before my monthly visitor comes, I'm a crazy person. And I am a mean son of a bitch. And we have music for it. Jason, could you get the music for the ladies that you play for me? I mean,
Dr. Pryor, you're adorable, by the way.
We call it Shark Week. That should be the title of your next book.
Okay, Shark Week.
And I said to Christine, here's some music for you. It's The Exorcist.
Hey, ladies, it's hell.
Okay, listen to this. This is for the ladies. Okay, this is The Exorcist theme. This is how I am before I get my you-know-what. And, you know,
it's total shark.
We laugh about it. But hormonally, I need help. And I'm not going on the pill.
True.
I'm not going on the pill. What do you think, Dr. Pryor?
Don't. And progesterone would probably help. And, yeah.
Yeah, and also another doctor said, because I thought I had a low libido, he wanted to give me progesterone. Oh, here it is. Listen to this, Dr. Pryor. Candace, listen. Listen. That's when it gets really bad. Don't
here
get
she
near
comes.
Me. It's almost like
she's walking in the studio.
I got a hatchet in my hand. Okay. No, but seriously speaking, we're talking to Dr. Pryor and Candace Newton. We're talking about perimenopause and the different issues that they talk about with women. But I have to say that, you know, what can we do through diet besides taking progesterone or whatever we need to take?
Exercise is a big one. A really important one, because if you're not in perimenopause, and even to some degree and sometimes in perimenopause, exercise suppresses that drive for higher estrogen at the brain level.
Yeah.
And I believe that exercise can come in the forms of younger men.
Oh, Candace.
And then in addition, chocolate.
That's aerobic exercise, right?
Yes, it is, Dr. Pryor. It is chocolate and younger men. That is my formula for
getting through this time.
That is my diet. Yeah, that's my diet.
It absolutely works. You know, I have to say that Dr. Pryor's CEMCOR, the Center for Menstrual and Ovulation Cycle Research, is world known. It is the website receives 40,000 hits a month from all over the world.
It's nice, yeah.
And women are screaming for this information. And Dr. Pryor is actually a pioneer in what she's done. And you know what happens with pioneers? They don't always get listened to the first 50,000 times around. But we need to get this message out that what she's got and what she's telling is solid science research. She's got an incredible team of researchers that work together with her, women who have the same kind of passionate, integral desire to show women the real truth and give them what they need in these tools. And you know what? We know as women, it's not going to happen if we wait for traditional industry to do that. We've got to do it ourselves. We have got to push it and make it happen. And that's the difference. When women get a hold of something, they make it happen.
Well,
you know, the book is interesting because it is a fundraising tool for CEMCOR.
Okay, so the book is called Estrogen Storm Season. It's written by Dr. Pryor, and this is going to go towards research.
Right, you can get it at Amazon.com. All you have to do
and
is
you can get it on our website.
Yeah, get it from the CEMCOR website. And as well, Dr. Pryor has an interview on unlockingsecrets.com that really goes into some really major detail So you can look that up under unlockingsecrets.com as well.
Well, you guys just have to come back, too. We have not had enough time to talk everything, so you guys have to come back.
Love to.
Absolutely.
And we were honored to have you guys on the show. Everybody go to Dr. Pryor's website and Candace Newton's website. It's going to be on our website. We'll talk to you soon, and we really appreciate you coming on and cracking this mystery.
Great.
Thanks, Molly. Thanks, Christy.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye, take care.
Thanks.
All right, we got to go to a break, but coming up next, he's probably in menopause himself. Bill Glasser for America's Most Wanted.
And I think Candace was basically saying, get on that dick.
Yeah. Oh, she's saying not only get on that dick, she's saying get on young dick.
That's what she's saying.
All right, we'll be right back with the broads.
I'll get it. Get it.
They are a couple broads.
Walking through the day.
You're listening to Broad Minded on Take 5, XM 155.